Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Well, certainly a joy to be with you here today. God bless you. Looking forward to the time in Church Ed, and then tomorrow I get to preach as well, and so looking forward to that, and then be at the church on Wednesday night, looking forward to that as well. Certainly a great joy to be with those students from Grandview Baptist Church that are here. I want you to know we love you, and we're so proud of you. We have had so many people. Over 100 of our students have come here over the years, and what a blessing that has been. I think our church has seen maybe 220 young people go off to Bible college. I'd say the vast majority of those came to Hiles Anderson College, many of them way before y'all were born. And so our first group, in fact, that first group, I met a pastor and his wife, and then his brother, who's a deacon of his church, come to our 38-year anniversary right after he preached in Vancouver, Washington. And he's in his 50s. Hard to believe he was 15 when he first came to our youth teen department, and what God did there was amazing. He was the first student to come from our church to Hiles Anderson College. When we were 5 years old, that would be 33 years ago, Dr. Hiles asked me to come and preach for chapel. I remember the first time I came here in 1980, I came to a pastor school, and I thought, well, I want to go see this college they're talking about. It was way out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, way out in the middle of nowhere. There were no homes, there were no houses, there were no businesses. It was just a highway, and then after a long, long time out of the woods, here was this college. And so times have changed, amen? And by the way, I was a young man then, so times have changed, you know. We all get a little older. I started pastoring when I was 21 years of age, right out of Bible college. About 3 weeks later, I turned 22. Was there in Mississippi for 18 months. A church that was 100 years of age. It had more cattle in the area than people. But the church went from 80 to about 120 in 18 months. But we only had 18 people saved and 20 people baptized, and or 12 baptized. And I wanted to see so much more. You know, when you get out of Bible college, you want to go conquer the world, not see one a month come to faith in Christ. You want to see masses of people come to faith in Christ. So from there at 23, I went and started a church with 15 people in Conway, Arkansas. God blessed. I was there 5.5 years. You know, we had 233 as our high day, ran about 120, bought land, built a building, all those things you do in a new church. But the town at that time was only about 12,000. I'd personally knocked on every door 6 times. And so I was running out of prospects. I wanted a place I'd never run out of prospects. And then one day, I heard that Oregon was the state with the highest percentage of unchurched people. And I thought, wow, if you want to win souls, that's where you need to go. In the Bible Belt, it was a lot of good churches competing with a lot of good churches. They weren't all Baptists. They didn't have the same tags and titles, denominations, and any of that. But they understood the gospel. When I got to Oregon, they didn't understand the gospel. Even those who go to church didn't know they were saved, didn't know they could keep salvation, didn't know any of that hardly. And so what a blessing it was. That first year we saw, I think, about 100 and, I think it was 123 saved. And, you know, it was just amazing. The people were getting saved. That was more people than I ever saw. And the best year we ever had in Conway was 68 saved and 35 baptized. We had so many, 123. And then the next year, It was 253, and the next year it was 502, and the next year it was 1,011, and the next year it was 2,000, and the next year it was 4,000, and the next year it was 6,000. You see, when you go soul winning, people get saved, right? And imagine going to a place where people want to go to heaven, but they have no clue how. And that's what Oregon is. They want to go to heaven. There's nobody on earth that wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But most people have a little idea of how to go to heaven. They don't. And so it's such a wonderful thing that every time you go soul winning, you get to see people saved. And it's exciting and wonderful. Our best year ever, we had, I don't know why, in 2002, we just got into our new 800-seat auditorium in 2001. And I thought, we worked so hard building that building. Let's have a day where we, a year where we just try to see people saved. And so 2002, I said, let's see 20,002 get saved in 2002. I wish I'd knew math better, and I knew math pretty well, but I never divided that by 52. That was over 400 people a week. That's a lot of soul winning. And so that's all we did, is soul winning all year long. I thought we'd have one or two marathons where we go out and see 1,000 people saved in 6 hours, 8 hours. We had 13 of them. But we saw 22,300 people trust Christ as their Savior. And we still grew by 175, and we never did any follow-up because we had no time for that. Follow-up, what's that word? Well, since then, we've sort of learned that word, but back in the days, it was also exciting. Now, this last Sunday was my 38-year anniversary as pastor of Grandview Baptist Church, and as I mentioned, I've been pastoring since I was 21. I did not retire. I got reassigned. I decided several years ago to have a younger man be the pastor in just a few years. So I'd been in that process of transition for the last 3 or 4 years, and it took about 3 years to get it all to work out. A young man had to resign his church, come to our church, buy a house, get settled in. We co-pastored since January, and then on last Sunday, we celebrated our 38th year anniversary. We fed everyone at the church. We came back in the auditorium. We sang songs. We gave testimonies. And then we voted in a new pastor, Justin Lehman, graduate of Hiles Anderson College, Justin and Alicia. And so what a blessing. I am so excited about it. I got reassigned. I am going to be the 7th assistant pastor he has. And I am the assistant pastor to the senior citizens, of which I am. And so we're going to have a lot of fun, go on trips and do a lot of things. And I'm going to keep all the seniors loyal to our church and to our pastor. And it's a wonderful thing. Take your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 13 very quickly, if you will. I know I spent a little time on introduction, but that's okay. I'm still going to end in time. If I don't get everything I want to say this morning, that's fine as well. I'll say enough, I hope, will keep our interest and encourage us and maybe challenge us to do a little more for the cause of Christ. I'd never preached a sermon where I've said everything I wanted to anyway. I don't think any pastor has, but you say what you feel needs to be said. In 2 Kings chapter 13, we start in verse 14, and it says, "Now Elijah was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died, and Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." Now, if you're familiar a little bit with the kings, you know that Israel, once it was divided, never had a godly king. Never had a godly king. Judah did, had several of them, but Israel never had a godly king. And yet here's a godless king that is mourning the loss and the sickness of a man of God. And let me just say that even people in the cities you will one day minister in, they may not be Christians. They may never have any interest in Christianity, but they ought to know that you are a man of God and you get in touch with heaven. And when their time of need, you'll be surprised how they show up calling you. Last Wednesday, we had a Chamber of Commerce at our church, about 65 people. One lady who I would say is a New Ager, she's an acupuncturist and all the other different things. And if you believe in that, that's fine. I don't have anything against it. I just haven't been poked with needles and enjoyed it. But she does that. She's elderly. But she came up and said, "Pastor, could I have you pray for a lady, one of my clients? She's about 43. She's dying of cancer. She has two young children." I said, "Yes, what's her name?" She told me her name. I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, "Let's pray right now." And so right in the middle of the chamber, meeting everybody around, we just prayed and asked God to touch the life of that young lady who has this diagnosis. And I said, "Lord, I hope she knows you. I hope heaven's real for her. I hope she knows where she goes." And the lady said, "Thank you so much, Pastor. I appreciate that." Listen, ungodly people still came to the man of God when he was sick. And people in your town need you, not just people in your church, but people in your town. Many years ago, a friend of mine was told by Dr. Lee Robertson, "Pastor your city, not your church, pastor your city, and you ought to make an influence for everyone around you." And by God's grace, that can happen. And Elijah said unto him, "Take bow and arrows," and he took them and bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it, and Elijah put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward," and he opened it. And then Elijah said, "Shoot," and he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek until thou hast consumed them." And he said, "Take the arrows," and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite the ground upon, smite upon the ground." And he smote thrice and stayed. One, two, three. And he stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him. Now here's this man about to die, but all of a sudden he's upset. He's angry. He said, "Thou should have smitest five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria until thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." Let's bow our heads for a quick word of prayer. Father, speak to our hearts from your word and by your spirit. And Lord, we're just your children around your word. And would the Holy Spirit of God do a work in all of our hearts, my heart, everyone's heart. Lord, there's none of us that don't need that. And so, Holy Spirit of God, have free reign, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so in this passage of Scripture, he got upset because he only went one, two, three with the arrows. Now, he didn't know what it meant. He didn't know that those were the arrows of God's deliverance. He didn't know that if he'd hit it a dozen times that he would have conquered Syria a dozen times and completely wiped them out. He didn't know that. But what he did know, he didn't do with passion. What he did know, he didn't do with passion. Now, that's something I see missing in a lot of churches around our land, a lot of Christians around our... What they do know, they don't do with passion. And let me say, it's not your intelligence. It's not your athletic ability. It's not your good looks. But if you got a passion for God, you'll be amazed what God can do through you. If you got a passion, you can be one of the least academic and have a passion for God. You can be one of the least likely to succeed, but you have a passion for God. You'll be amazed what God can do to simple men and women who have a passion for God, who is greater than the universe, bigger than anything we could possibly imagine, has all the power, all the resources, everything at his disposal. You'd be surprised what God could do in and through the life of someone who had a passion for the cause of Christ. Now, wouldn't it be nice if every one of you had that? I know you have it when you sing. I know you have it when chapel. I see that. I know you have that. But you're not going to have that when you go minister in some church somewhere. It's going to be pathetic singing. It's going to be an old rundown building. It's going to be filled with senior citizens and little passion. And if you get so excited, you preach 5 minutes long, somebody's going to say, "Pastor, what happened? We got out. Now, that's not the church you want to pastor, but I'm telling you, the reality is that's most churches in America today. But God called you to make the difference. God called you. And you can make that difference. You, little old you, can make that difference if you have a passion for God. And so that's what I want to talk about, the passion for God. Get excited about the things of God. Oh, I work on a bus ministry. Don't just work on a bus ministry. Fill a bus. Don't just work on a Sunday school. Fill a Sunday school class. Don't just work with kids. Lead them to Christ. Grow them in Christ. Those are future preachers and teachers and wives and servants of the Most High God. Give everything you have with passion. Don't beat the ground three times. I grew up in churches that were small and good churches, but I never saw them beat the ground with passion. They were the 1, 2, 3 with the arrows, and then you went home. And they were good people, godly people. I enjoyed every moment of it. But I never saw passion until 1980. I came to pastor school here in Hammond, Indiana, and I sat in the old auditorium, and Dr. Howell preached, and it's like, whoa! I felt like the wind was blowing me, the Holy Spirit of God. I couldn't say amen. I wanted to cry. I was just so amazed. People excited about the cause of Christ and seeing people saved and churches being built and things happening. Oh, my heart ached. I wanted that. And you can have that. Passion. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And it goes on to say, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. What it means is, what you do for God, you got to do now. You can't get to heaven and say, oh, I wish I did. Oh, now I want to serve God more. No, it's too late. While you have breath, while you have life. And by the way, life is a vapor, right? It appears for a while. I know you're young, but it appears for a while. And before you turn around, you're 67 years old. And all your hair is gray. I had brown hair when I started Grandview Baptist Church. Miss Vicky, her hair changes quite often. But anyway. And so we've grown in the Lord a little bit and aged in the doing. But have a passion. Now, I went to Bible college when I was 17 years of age. And I didn't go to it. I wasn't raised independent Baptist. I was in a denomination, and it didn't do a whole lot. But I went to a good Bible college where they teach you Bible, and I enjoyed that, and there were wonderful people. And I went to a little church that ran about 60, that was just a few blocks from the college. There were many different churches of the type, and we all went to different churches. And so I went to this church of about 60, and there were two or three other people from the college that would go there and be a part of that 60. I remember one Sunday afternoon, I was walking around the church. And in the back of the church, there was this yellow bus. And by the way, I'd never heard of the bus ministry in my life. So I went to the pastor and I said, you got a bus parked in the back of your church. Did they use that for public school or what's that for? He said, no. He said, that is for the bus ministry. We used to have a bus ministry. And I said, well, what's that? He said, well, you know, you drive it around and you'd pick up boys and girls and bring them to church. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, could I do that? He said, do what? I said, I'd like to take that bus, drive it around and pick up boys and girls and bring them to church. Could I do that? He said, if you want to. We'll see if it runs. You know, changed the battery, got it running. Had another boy who went to my school, same grade, and his name was Mike as well. I said, Mike, listen, I got this idea. There's this yellow bus, and the pastor said, you can drive that thing around, and you can pick up people and bring it to the church. And so I want you and I to do that. Now, I don't have a clue how to do that, but I want us to learn how to do that. And I want us to bring people. And I said, Mike, here's what I have in mind. Our church runs 60. Wouldn't it be nice in 6 weeks if we brought 60 people on that bus? we could double the size of the church. And he said, yes. And Mike Nelson said, yeah, let's do that. And so I started figuring out. I said, how do you get people to write? Well, you have to go knock on their doors, and you have to ask if they'll send their kids. And then you got to get the name and the address. And, oh, well, I know how to do that. And so after school, I would start knocking on doors. Mike would knock on doors. We did that. And at 6 weeks, we had 60 people on the bus. Wow. What an exciting thing to come in and double the size of the church in 6 weeks. I loved it. When I pastored in Arkansas on our four-year anniversary, I said, I want us to have a big day. And I want to bring 75 people on the bus. Well, I was the bus captain, the pastor and the bus captain. I had a 9-year-old that helped me, but I drove the bus. And I was the bus captain, and my 9-year-old preacher son was my helper. And I said, I want to get 75. And so I worked and worked and worked. Now, I should have thought we had a 48-passenger bus. And so, but we had 75 on our four-year anniversary on a bus that only held 48. I wouldn't recommend it. It was very tight. 5 people to a seat. Everybody standing up in the aisle. In fact, the last person, you have to push them in order to shut the door. But it's exciting. You can do more than you think if you have a passion for God. Start your day with a passion of go through the day with a passion for God. End the day with a passion of God. Say, God, I love you. Don't just say, God, I love you. Don't say that. Say, God, I love you. I really love you. Get passionate about it. God loves people who loves him and are passionate about it. Yeah. Young fellows, when you date that girl and you're about to ask her to be your wife, you don't say, you know, I sort of like you. We seem to get along. You think you might want to live your life with me? Don't be surprised if the answer's no. But be passionate about it. You're the best thing that ever happened in my life. I wake up thinking about you. I go to bed thinking about you. I can't live without you. I don't know how life would be without you. Please, would you, any way you would consider living your life with me? I promise you, you'll always have my attention. You'll always be my focus. She'll probably say, yes, because that's what she's looking for too. How about soul-winning passion, a passion to win people to Christ? Mark 16:5, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I knew about passing tracts out. As a teenager, we'd stand outside the bars of Clarksville, Tennessee, and pass tracts to everyone that came in, everyone that came out. I did that. But I saw so few come to faith in Christ. By the time I went to Bible college at 17, I'd led 17 people to Christ. But when I came across Independent Baptists, I saw little kids that led more than that. I saw teenagers that led scores of people to Christ, and I thought, where was I all my life? I want a passion for winning souls to Christ. I didn't know you could do that. When we started our church, we were just a few years old. I wanted to reach more children. We didn't have a bus ministry, but I wanted to reach children. So we came up with an eye of children's fair, little rinky-dink games, you know, throw a football through a tire and you win a prize. Walk on a 4x4 beam and you win a prize, and all these little rinky-dink games that we made ourselves. But we had 25 children show up, and 10 of them got saved. And I could have died and went to heaven so happy. 10 people in one day. I never thought I'd pastor a church that saw 10 people in one day come to faith in Christ. Oh, I was so happy. I called all my friends. 10 people got saved. Wow. And then a few weeks later, I said, you know what? I think we can do it bigger and better. I think we could do that bigger. I think we could do that better. Next year, we had 75 people come, and 25 got saved. 25 in one day? Whoa. I felt like the day of Pentecost in a small area of Oregon. And it was so exciting. I couldn't believe it. I never thought I'd pastor a day where 25 people in one day got saved. And then I thought a few weeks later, we could do it bigger and better. And so we went from 75 to 150, from 150 to 250, from 250 to 400, from 400 to 600, from 600 to 800, and 800, and 800. And we had days where we saw 100 baptized at our children's fair. Wow! It was amazing. It's amazing what God can do if you have passion. You want to see people saved. Weekend before last, it dawned on me, it had been a few weeks since I'd seen someone saved, so I went out soul winning for 4 hours and got to lead 9 people to Christ. Flying here, I sat beside engineer, and he was telling me about his engineer firm. He has 16 people working for him. He doesn't have a child. I know all about his life. He told me everything about his life. But I told him how he could go to heaven, and he prayed and entrusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I'm just saying, it's exciting to see people saved. Before COVID, we had a big day on the Easter roundup. And so the biggest day we ever had at the church was 2,400, and it was far more people than we could handle. 400 cars. Our parking lot only holds about 240, 250. And so they were double, triple, quadruple parked everywhere and on the highway. So we said, we want to have a big day. We always want to do bigger and better, bigger and better. And I said, but we want to reach more people. And then I heard about going to area parks and having services. I heard a church that did that. And I said, we can do that. We know how to do special events. So we just chose 40 parks in Portland. And we got teams of 20 to 25 to 30 people. And they would go to the park and they'd have one service at 10 o'clock and one service at 1 o'clock. And we would have two services, 5,000 invitations on this side of the park and 5,000 invitations on this park, 105,000 stuffed Easter eggs, and 2 tons of candy. So we covered all the parks with candy. You couldn't step without stepping on candy. You think kids won't come for that? We had 10,116 people come to one of those services. We had 1,653 people trust Christ as their Savior. I'm just saying, it's amazing what God can do if you have a little passion. By the way, don't wait till you get out there. Have it now. Have it now. Well, I'm glad I got through the first point. It's been a joy. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I still remember as a teenager just wanting so much for you to use my little old life. And you know it's true. I had so little to offer you, and I still have so little to offer you. And Lord, no doubt here, there's college kids that think in their own heart, God, I'm a nobody. I have so little. I'm not good at anything. I don't see how I could be used of you. But Lord, if they just get passionate, if they just say, Lord, please, just please use me, God, and mean it sincerely, they'd be amazed what you would do with their little life. Heavenly Father, help us to serve with passion. Help us to love with passion. Help us to win others with great passion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.